Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Well, the old Pod John is back again.
Apparently, my fucking H6 Zoom recorder is working again. That's nice. Someone said they're like, your favorite word in the podcast is the F word. But then they said that I stopped using it as much. Look, man, I'm not setting out to say fuck, but it's fun to say fuck. I love when Howard Stern first went to Sirius XM radio. Everybody thought that he was just going to say fuck all the time. And then some of his, he's like, dude, I'm not going to say fuck all the time. That's not the point. It's like, the point is the freedom to be able to say fuck, not that I want to constantly say it. Like a third grader. And then they have like on the radio app, it had like a description of what was going on, like what the program segment was. And then some of the guys would put like, you know, like pussy and cunt and fuck, like they would just put like swear words in there. And he's like, he told him to stop doing that. He's like, you guys, we're not just on satellite radio so we can swear. So apparently my fucking H6 Zoom recorder is now working again. I don't know. Dude, doesn't life, just a little minutia, sometimes I feel guilty talking about little minutia on the pod, but I feel like that's kind of something that people relate to on podcasts. Like, I get this new cord, right? Because I guess the cord wasn't working, the power wasn't working. And then the new cord doesn't fit into the slot correctly. So great. So now I just spent like $15. You think I'm going to like wrap up some fucking cord and send it back to Amazon? Fuck no, dude. I took it out of the original packaging and I stuffed it into like a box. And it'll just sit there forever until past my death. And then someone in my family, I guess, or maybe my, like, I don't know, some acquaintance is going to have to dig through this box and be like, what the fuck is this cord, dude? Why didn't he just throw it away in the first place? I didn't throw it away because I wanted to, like, hold on. It's an object that I purchased. If I throw it away immediately, that seems very wasteful. So instead, I'll just let it sit as garbage within my home, in a home where I don't have much space. So that happened. Look, for 2 minutes, nothing bad is happening with the recording. Wow, this is very, very exciting. Did you know that these students taught E. coli how to solve Sudoku puzzles? What? First of all, who plays Sudoku, dude? These word games, my mom loves them, like the Wordle and all this shit. It's like, I don't want to stare at letters in a grid for like 20 to 30 minutes each day. Why is that fulfilling? I don't want to talk to my friends about it. I don't want to share online word games with them. And then I feel bad because my mom really loves word games. And I'm like, Danny, this could be a really nice way for you to bond with your mom. And so then I try to play like Boggle or something. But then she just like destroys me at Boggle. It's like, I don't want to play fucking Boggle, dude. I'm just going to get hosed every time. I like to win. Anyways, these students taught E. coli how to solve Sudoku puzzles. But I looked up this article and tried to read it, and it got pretty boring. I mean, obviously the bacteria are not solving a fucking puzzle, dude. You know? They just like program their cells to be attracted to some genetic variant within this adjacent cell. I don't, no idea. But you know, I guess the point is that, you know, this is small potatoes, but over time, bacteria and other, I guess, other like living organisms could be trained and programmed to do complex mathematical computations that could perhaps advance AI or like biological advances. So that's kind of sick. Okay. I don't know why I'm sharing science news. It's fun. I think it just like I don't know if I'm dumb. I'm not dumb, but you know, just for the sake of the discussion, like a dumb comic just like talks about science stuff. Everybody's like, dude, why am I listening to this, bro? Why don't I just run an actual science podcast? You fucking dolt, Danny. You fucking dolt. It's fun to say dolt. I was fucking around with ChatGPT recently. I just love to like throw a bunch of stuff at it. I love what I realized. I don't know if you do too. I love morally complex and ambiguous movies and books. And I was talking to ChatGPT about this, and they were like, "Absolutely, The Graduate is another example of a story that explores moral ambiguity and the complexities of human relationships. Benjamin Braddock, the protagonist, finds himself entangled in a web of conflicting emotions and desires, particularly in his relationship with Mrs. Robinson. The film's ambiguous ending leaves viewers grappling with questions about the character's motivations and the consequences of their actions." If you haven't seen The Graduate, it's not that big of a spoiler alert. I mean, it came out in 1967, I'm pretty sure, dude. So, like, you know, this is on you, dude. But basically, he hooks up with a college friend's mom, basically. And then he like falls in love with her daughter. And the daughter's like, you fuck my mom, dude. We're not going to hang out. But then the very last scene, they're on this bus. And the look on their face, the supposedly, you know, happy couple that just escaped her marrying this other dude, they both seem kind of unhappy and confused. And it's like, oh, man, is that kind of the whole thing with life? You go through and you make it and you accomplish your goals to some extent. And then you're just sitting there at the end, just kind of, yeah, guess we're both going to die anyways, huh? And so I was comparing that to other books, to books that I've read. Obviously, The Graduate is not a book. Was it based on a book? I don't know. So ChatGPT continued, like Lolita and The Catcher in the Rye, The Graduate challenges conventional notions of morality and forces viewers to confront uncomfortable truths about human nature. Ooh, that's a fun topic. Uncomfortable truths about human nature. I'm like, what is the uncomfortable truth about human nature in Lolita? Is it just that like pedophiles exist and then you're like rooting for a pedophile? I mean, there's some moral ambiguity for you. You're enjoying this great work of literature. And this guy, Humbert Humbert, is such a good writer and filled with such like, I mean, it sounds gross and creepy, but he does have this like deep passion for like, I don't know if it's life, maybe. Yeah, I guess it is life, you know? I mean, beyond just Lolita, he's like a very compelling character, you know? I feel guilty talking about a fictional character, but he does kind of like draw you into his world. And it's like, well, if I'm rooting for this guy, that's like this fictional character even, but still, I'm empathizing with him. I'm sympathizing with him. I'm kind of rooting for him. Like, what does that say about me as a person? You know, like those kinds of uncomfortable truths are tough when you're watching a movie. It's fun. It's this exploration of moral ambiguity that makes these works so thought-provoking and enduring. Ah, see? So that moral ambiguity that makes you kind of like, you shouldn't be fucking that girl. You fucked her mom, dude. That's what kind of makes it great. So the terrible thing in the movie or these books is what makes it great, you know? I can't remember how that applies to Catcher in the Rye. I guess because he's kind of like disillusioned with society, but okay. That's the end of that little part of it, of the podcast here. By the way, I just learned that Rob Reiner is filming Spinal Tap 2 in New Orleans. I bet that's going to be really funny. This one, no, I'm not going to do that. I refuse to say this one goes to, dude, that is the most... Is there any bigger loser move from a piker dude or person trying to be funny than to say this one goes to 11? Or if someone brings up this is Spinal Tap and then you say that phrase, like, dude, just go pull yourself into it. Just pull a coffin shut and just wait. Just wait for the grip of sweet death. Nobody wants to hear you say this one goes to 11, bro. It's fucking whack, dude. Okay, I was reading this other article about AI and stuff like that, dude. Representatives for Goldman, Morgan Stanley, Deutsche Bank, and others said it was too early to comment on specific job changes. They're saying that like these entry-level investment banking analyst jobs are probably going to go away, or at least be dramatically changed because AI is going to be able to do all these computations. And a lot of the work that they were doing is kind of like grunt work, just like reformatting like large reams of data. But the consulting giant Accenture estimated that AI could replace or supplement nearly 3/4 of bank employees' working hours across the industry. Dude, 3/4 of bank employees' working hours across the industry? God damn, dude. That isn't limited to investment banking. Bank of New York Mellon's chief executive said on a recent earnings call that his research analysts that could now wake up 2 hours later than usual. Because AI can read overnight economic data and create a written draft of analysis to work from. That's kind of sick. Everybody's like, oh, dude, fuck the machines, man. They're taking over, dude. They're going to fucking eliminate us from having jobs and providing for our families, bro. But maybe you can just get up a couple hours later because they did all your fucking dirty work while you fucking zonked out, dog. You know, that could be possible, man. This article continues, among Goldman Sachs' sprawling AI efforts is a tool under development that can transfigure a lengthy PowerPoint document into a formal S-1, the legalese-packed document for initial public offerings required for all listed companies. So that could be sick. Nobody wants to, you know, create a fucking lengthy PowerPoint document about a legal document, dude. Ugh. I mean, that's better. Isn't that better? As long as people don't lose their jobs. But I guess this is kind of a douchey argument to be like, oh, these fucking rich iBanking analysts are going to be able to focus on more thought-provoking, intellectually challenging tasks. Wow. What about the fucking bus drivers and, you know, people working in factories? I don't know the answer to that, man. I mean, maybe there's a path to having those jobs be more... I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to stop talking. That's enough of that, Danny. By the way, that software that transforms the S1 documents, like over in two, it takes less than 1 second to complete this job. To take this giant document and then make it into a different format, it takes less than 1 second. So, yeah, you know what? On further review, we're all fucked.
We're not all fucked, honey. Don't say that. You need to be supportive and encouraging towards your listeners, because then they'll want to listen to your podcast. Maybe double your viewers over the course of 25 years.
I mean, listeners. Sorry, that was my girlfriend talking. She's a very, very raspy voice. Okay. Here's a couple inspiring quotes. I got this. I got these from The Marginalian. It's like this weekly, I guess you can get it twice a week. It's like this weekly newsletter. This lady shares like great poets and novelists, philosophers from history and their insights on life. And on, I mean, some of it is really good. Like the two quotes I'm about to read are really good. But like, you know, she's a little bit like over the top with everything, you know, like, the heart rends and bleeds with emotion and joy as the transformative, like she talks about these, like this dead author from like 150 years ago, as though he like ripped open the infinite universe and showed us these like pearls of wisdom that are shining so brightly, like you can't even see them. It's like, dude, all right, just it's just like, you know, it's good, but it's not like flipping out good. You know, I feel like there's a tendency with a lot of literature to just be like overwrought. Dude, I had this fucking, not all of it, but some of it. I had this professor in college at Mercer. I really hated this guy. Should I say his name? I'll say his name. It was Dr. Rick Wilson. I just thought, you know, maybe if I talked to him today, he wouldn't be like this, but I just thought he was kind of like pretentious. And I felt that he didn't think I was smart enough to like really excel in his classes. And he thought my friend was smart. I know he did. They like really resonated on like theological discussions and stuff like that. And I'm like, this guy doesn't think I'm as smart as my friend. And that like hurt my feelings. And I thought he was kind of like a pompous blowhard. And then one time I submitted this paper and I would try to use like, yeah, I mean, he's right. I just would try to, you know, use very like literature, like, you know, smart, like complex sentences. And he wrote on the paper, I'll never forget this. He wrote, "Also flowery, but what does it mean?" Oh, also flowery, but what does it mean? Wow. Way to devastate a 19-year-old trying his best in college, pal. You fucking dick shit. That's not nice, but, you know, that did hurt my feelings. I mean, I feel like, okay, isn't there a better way to express that to a 19-year-old kid, you know? Well, how about just talk to me after class one day and be like, you know what, I kind of see where you're going with this, but I feel like you're putting more emphasis on the quality or the, you know, the presentation of the words and the ideas rather than the content and substance of them. Like, isn't there a better way than also flowery, but what does it mean? And then that just sits in my craw for fucking 30 years, dude. You know what I mean? And then he's like this religious professor. I'm just blowing up someone my name on my podcast. I mean, whatever. If you listen to this, hey, man, that's one more listener that'll help my download. So I don't mind. I don't mind a bit. By the way, next weekend, I'm going to be opening for Giulio Gallerati, my good friend, yet again, in Detroit, at the Detroit House of Comedy. I've been to Detroit like 7 times for work. I've never been once for anything fun, so I'm excited to go there for something fun, something really fun. Giulio's going to kill it. It's next Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and the 4th, and that's going to be tight as fuck and sick and cool like that. And my weekly Black Cat show, Black Cat LAS, is happening this Friday, April 26, 2024, 9 o'clock p.m. The lineup this week is completely insane, dude. It's like Tom McCaffrey, Ryan Beck, Colleen Genevieve, Kate Willett, come on now, Mary Santora, Caroline Haynes, Yemi Afolabi, and Marissa Riley. It's like true banging good comedians. I'll also be hosting at The Stand on Saturday at 6 p.m. I'm not really sure if it's helpful to read my like performance dates, but it makes me feel good about myself a little bit. So maybe that makes it worth it, even if no one cares or comes. And then I'm doing Jim Tooze's show, Blinky's comedy show in Brooklyn on Sunday night at 8. Jim Tooze is funny as fuck. I always like to say he's from Cleveland because he knows my brother, but he's actually from Allentown, PA. Anyway, funny guy. And I'll be in Detroit next weekend. So that's going to be sick. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Instagram at Danny Palmer NYC. And the Danny Palmer Show on Instagram as well. Not as many followers in that account. You know, just follow my fucking main one, dude. And I'll fucking try to write shit on there. And you know, if you're a pretty girl and you want to slide my DMs and say what's up, then maybe I'll fly to Arizona and hang out with you, Diane. Okay. All right. She'll never hear this. Who cares? Who cares? Just kidding. I love her. She's pretty. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend, you fucking jeans. Wait, you're probably wondering why this podcast hasn't ended. I was just about to read these two inspiring quotes, and then I didn't read the quotes. If you listen to this whole up, you're probably like, what the fuck, dude? What? Okay, so here they are. This is from Viktor Frankl. He said, everything, he's the guy that wrote the book about being in the Holocaust, everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Pretty good, huh? I'll read it again. Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, or a woman, but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose your attitude in any given set of circumstances. And he said any. I mean any. If this guy can choose his attitude in the midst of the horrors of the Holocaust, then, you know, certainly we can when we get a fucking flat tire. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? Know what I mean? And then this one is one that I probably need to apply to my own life. Frederick Buechner. If you close yourself off from the hazards of the world, you close yourself off to life itself. I definitely have a tendency to do that. I'm like, I don't know if I want to get a girlfriend. I don't know if I want to have kids. What if they get sick? What if they get a fucking accident? But if you close yourself off from the hazard, Danny, the hazards of the world are life, buddy. Okay. Still don't really want to have kids. But anyway, those are the two inspiring things. Thank you for listening. I'm actually going to stop recording now. Should I say come at the end of the second ending, as I did at the end of the first ending a couple minutes ago? I'm going to.